that this house may never know hunger, salt, that life may always have flavor,
and wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Oh, it's good. Ooh. It is.
And Michael Ambrose.
What on earth was I drinking last night? My head feels like there's a Frenchman living in it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory and the great road to travel to get educated on the vine.
Yes, indeed.
And today, that is what we're discussing. We've had a lot of fun in the previous shows talking about parties, talking about how to comport yourself and how to behave and how to enjoy the season. But at some point, it all has to come to a screeching halt, and you can't celebrate anymore. You have to strengthen your resolve.
You've got to learn something.
Yes, you have to learn something. So, in light of that's what the Wine Crush is all about, we're trying to teach you about wine. That is what today's show is about, and it's talking about resolve and resolving to learn more about wine.
Yes.
Now, of course, I'm sure that you're already there. You have already resolved that you're going to know everything about wine, and that's why you have so brilliantly decided to listen to me and to get my guidance and insight. But ultimately, we're just a small piece of the pie, and being a small piece of the pie, we have to let you know what else is out there.
No doubt about that.
So, in light of that, today we are going to have a guest named Benjamin Wallace. He wrote a great book called The Billionaire's Vinegar. We're going to give you some great reference guides, some great reference points, and some places to look for information on wine, of course, besides the crush.
Indeed, yes.
That's how confident we are that you are so devoted to us that you will come back after all.
In return, that's right.
All right, my favorite part of the show where I look at Michael and say, Michael, what are you drinking these days?
Well, I am drinking a Chilean cab. It goes by the name of Montes, M-O-N-T-E-S.
Montes.
Yes, indeed. And it comes from Chile.
That white Chilean?
Chilean, yes. it is. The same thing, the same place. Rich. It's a big full-flavored wine. It's in American oak, so that makes it a little bit sweet. Great flavors, about $18. You can drink it right away, or you can lay it down for a couple of years. It'll get a little bit smoother.
I like the sound of that. I thought we could lay you down in a couple of years and get you smoother too, but it hadn't worked so far.
No, I get a little bit more bristly in those days. So how about you, Laura? What are you drinking?
I am actually drinking close to you. I am drinking out of Argentina.
Oh, cool.
I am drinking a little wine called Colomé. And Colomé is a Malbec-based coming out of Argentina. For those of you who follow the points racket, this was the 35th wine in the world, but it does fall in that category of wines that are affordable. And I think this time of year, we've gone over the top with a lot of the big Cabernets. We've gone over the top with a lot of Pinots. Yeah. And I just wanted something a little bit softer that I can kick back and resolve to learn more about other countries.
There you go. Okay.
So fair enough. Well, I think one of the questions we get often on The Crush is how we learned about wine. What makes us the great divas that you turn to week in and week out to learn more about wine? So, Michael, how did you learn about wine?
Well, first, Laura, I'm not really a diva, but I'm a pretty cool guy. How I first learned about wine is I was a Navy pilot. I was stationed in Europe. I got a chance to go to Crete and Sicily and Iceland and the Azores, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, and over there, it was a different culture from my southern style college kid kind of a guy, and I found out that food was different and that they actually drank wine over there rather than beer and scotch.
That's tragic.
So I started that way, went to Aspen, spent about 10 years there, got into the restaurant business there, started working at a French restaurant, and the lady who owned that French restaurant really taught me a tremendous amount about wine. Now, how about you?
I think I started learning about wine earlier than I'll even admit. I grew up in a household with kind of a French background,
really?
And when you had holidays, there was always wine on the table, whether it was watered down for the children or not. I'd take sips of it and think, oh, this is awful. And it wasn't till I was about 18 when I started working in a local liquor store that I really started picking up about wine, learning about wine. Of course, I thought back then that Beringer White Zinfandel, of course, was the reserve wine of choice when you got tired of drinking Sutter Home. But I think I used that more as a platform than anything else. Being in the wholesale business, it became an obsession with me to know more than my customers.
Yeah.
So at that point, I started seeking every book I could get my hands on. Unfortunately, at the time I was learning about wine, you didn't have the local colleges. You didn't have people who were offering classes. Retailers didn't say, come and taste these wines and learn.
Right.
It was more either you knew wine or you were some kind of just overall idiot. And so I think everything I learned about wine was self-study, and since then have gone on to seek different accreditations that we will talk about later in the show.
Right.
But the one thing I have learned, and this is the most important thing I can convey, the more you learn about wine, the less you know.
No doubt about that.
No such thing as a wine expert out there, and that's what we're going to hold everyone to that comes to the show, past, present, and future. Expert or not, there's always something else to learn. And that's why we're here from you on The Crush today, to help you learn more about wine. So coming up to do that, we have Benjamin Wallace to give us insight on his great book. And of course, we'll talk to you about accreditations. And most importantly, we're going to take your calls and your emails so that we can make this all about you. So more and all the fun stuff coming up on The Crush when we return.
The Wine Crush.
You see this earth? It has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose, and let's have a little tequila.
All right. Well, actually, we're going to have a little bit of wine. And today on The Crush, we are teaching you to resolve yourself to learn more about wine. And I think one of the most interesting ways you can begin to learn and appreciate wine is not to pick up the Wine for Dummies books, is not to pick up the Sotheby's Big Manual, is not to pick up Karen McNeil's Wine Bible. But most importantly, to pick up books that tell a story.
Yeah, they're fun.
There's a lot of great wine books out there that can definitely give you all the particular details that you're looking for, from Brix to pH to fermentation. But those things are great about 1 o'clock in the morning for insomnia. There are a series of writers out there who have taken wine to a whole different level. And what they do is encapsulate the most important thing about wine, and that's the stories about the people associated with them, the properties associated with them, and of course the legends associated with wine.
No doubt about it.
And that leads us to our guest. Our guest today is Mr. Benjamin Wallace. And for those of you who listen to my Great Wine Gift show, you will recall the book The Billionaire's Vinegar, because for any wine lover you have out there, this is a must-have book, a must-have read. And the book, I'm going to take this from the cover blurb. It was the most expensive bottle of wine ever sold. In 1985, at a heated auction by Christie's of London, a 1787 bottle of Chateau Lafite Bordeaux, one of a cachet of bottles unearthed in a bricked-up Paris cellar and supposedly owned by Thomas Jefferson, went for $156,000 to a member of the Forbes family. The discoverer of the bottle was a pop band manager turned wine collector, Hardy Rodenstock, who had a knack for finding extremely old and exquisite wines. But rumors about the bottle soon arose.
Yes.
And that reads like a great mystery, but it is nonfiction. And at that point, we'd love to bring Mr. Wallace on the show. Benjamin, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. I have to tell you, I have been able to read most wine books over the course of 3 or 4 weeks. I kind of like them, pick them up, drink a glass of Chardonnay. I picked up your book, The Billionaire's Vinegar, and I literally laid on my couch for 9 hours. I would not answer the phone. I would not get up for anything other than to run to the refrigerator and grab something to snack on. It is, hands down, the most captivating, best wine book I have read in 10 years.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. So tell us from your point of view, The Billionaire's Vinegar, what's the story?
Well, I mean, what the capsule you just read sums it up pretty well. I mean, what interested me was the fact that it was a story. I had tried to learn about wine. I had read some of the books you mentioned, including Wine for Dummies, which, you know, is a valuable and useful book, as are many books like that. But wine is, you know, a kind of daunting and complex subject. And I like nonfiction books that kind of sneak the, you know, the teaching in, but basically, you know,
tell
is
a story.
Entertaining to read. And so, you know, this story, when I heard about it, this most expensive bottle of wine, which had this mystery swirling around it, seemed like a great kind of entree into talking about wine. The overarching arc of the book, I guess you'd say, is the mystery of this bottle. You know, was it where it was said to be from? did it really belong to Thomas Jefferson? Was it really as old as it purported to be, 1787? Was it really Chateau Lafitte? And where was it found, and why wouldn't Hardy Rodenstock, the German guy who, you know, came up with this bottle, why wouldn't he say anything more about it?
For those of us who truly love wine, this is the Da Vinci Code of wine. You hit all the high notes. You talk about one of the first gross with Lafitte. You bring Michael Broadbent, one of the legendary wine characters, into it. You throw in a little American history and a little, I don't know, Per Mason with Thomas Jefferson into this. This is just a great encapsulation for anybody, whether you're a wine lover or not. What was your motivation to do this?
Oh, okay. Well, one thing was, I mean, another thing that I think a lot of wine books, you know, focus on the people who make the wine, and very few books talk about the people who drink the wine and sort of the culture of wine consumption and wine collecting. And so one of the things I really liked about this story was that it really threads through the world of extreme wine collecting and extreme wine drinking. And I mean, by that I mean collectors who might have a cellar with 35,000 bottles, or, you know, wine drinkers who go to these very expensive and exclusive tastings where you might drink 100 wines in a day or 2 days. And so the fact that this story gave entree to that part of the wine world was very appealing to me. And I mean, the way I got onto the story in the first place was I was reading a memoir by a British wine writer named Jancis Robinson. And, you know, she mentioned this record-setting bottle and the fact that the Forbes family had bought it. I'll give away a tiny, you know, wrinkle of the story, which is what happened to the bottle once it got to the Forbes in New York, I just loved. And that was that about a year after they bought the bottle, again, for $156,000, they had put it in their gallery in downtown Manhattan rather than in their wine cellar. And specifically, they put it under a halogen light. And the curator of their gallery was walking past the bottle and saw something dark bobbing in the liquid. And sure enough, since a halogen light is not, you know, really proper cellaring conditions, the cork had dried up and shrunk and fallen into the bottle. And I just love that, because I think it also got at the excess and the folly sometimes of the excessive prices that are sometimes paid for wine.
Wow.
I think anytime you can use the word excess and folly, you're bound to be talking about the wine business one way or the other. Benjamin, it is a great story. Got to ask you a question. How much of a wino are you? Are you a true aficionado, or did the story just captivate you?
It's more that the story captivated me. I mean, I would say I'm a foodie, and I was interested in wine, and I wanted to know a little bit more about wine. But, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, my quote-unquote cellar consists maybe of about 10 bottles, and only one of them is probably cost more than $20.
That sounds like my house. My bottles never last around long enough to get to do something like that.
What's the one that costs more than $20?
Well, that is a bottle of wine my wife gave to me for my birthday a couple years ago, and it's a bottle of 2001 Chateau Aubryon. Chateau Aubryon being one of the top five red Bordeaux, and actually it was a wine that Jefferson drank, and Jefferson, in fact, when he visited Bordeaux in the 18th century, went to the estate of Chateau Aubryon.
Right, and so we're talking about one bottle that's about $300 more than your average price of your cellar, eh?
Yeah, I think when she bought it was $200. I haven't checked the price recently, but yeah, all of my other wine combined does not add up to the price of that one bottle.
Okay.
And that one bottle has now, you know, followed me, you know, to a few different homes, and it's in my refrigerator, and I don't know when I'll drink it.
That's okay. It doesn't matter when. You
just
know,
give
you
us
can
a call
at some point.
Yes.
Benjamin, question for you. Not being a wine person, you've got to go around the world and interview a lot of these people. You got to see some of the great regions. Of course, when we talk about wine, you think about Bordeaux. You think about the history and the excitement that follows it. When you saw the stories, did it bring home wine for you? Did you feel a knowledge to learn more about wine, or were you just engrossed in the story?
I'm sorry, I didn't entirely understand the question. Do you mean once I began researching the story, did it make me more interested in wine?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, I would say so. I mean, as you said, it was really a luxurious subject to research in that you know, I spent 2 months in London interviewing the kind of the auctioneers and the British part of the business. And I went to Germany 4 times and France a few times. And, you know, so it was not very rough research. And I mean, I definitely, the thing that kept me going was the mystery. I mean, it was this, you know, receding goal of trying to solve this mystery, trying to crack the mystery. But that said, I mean, the wine made it a lot more enjoyable than if I had been researching the mystery of some piece of furniture. I mean, everywhere I went, just about, people would open bottles of wine for me. And so I definitely learned a lot and had the opportunity to taste wines I otherwise never would have.
Oh, wait, that sounds pretty good.
You have to drink wine to talk about it. We're running out of time, but I have to ask you a question. Are we going to see a follow-up book that has the conclusive answer to the mystery in it?
Well, you're going to see the paperback, which comes out in April, and the paperback is going to include an epilogue that was not in the hardcover. And the epilogue will update the story. For those people who need a smoking gun or videotape footage of the crime, I don't think they're going to be satisfied. I think that the answer is pretty evident in the book as it exists, and it will have a little bit of an update in the paperback. But the fact is the legal proceedings that the book talks about, which stem from this case, which we didn't really get into, those proceedings are pending, and so there is not yet a final resolution.
I bet you are Hardy Rodenstock's favorite person on the planet right now.
Exactly.
Well, Benjamin, thank you. I like the way you think. Well, thank you very much for being part of The Crush. Hopefully when your book comes out in April, we can get you back on so you can recapitulate the whole idea of the epilogue, and hopefully the court proceedings will have continued on at that point.
I would love to come back. Thank you.
All right, Benjamin, thank you
very
much.
Thanks for talking with us.
That just goes to show, for our listeners, that was Benjamin Wallace. We're commenting on the book, The Billionaire's Vinegar, and that is in a glass,
yes,
so to speak, the essence of the wine business. You don't have to know all the particulars. You don't have to know the ins and outs. The stories can captivate you to the point where you have to learn more. You have to know what happens next.
Right.
And that is something that can hold true whether you're learning about Chardonnay and how it's created, or whether you're learning about how Napa was founded, or if you're learning about whether or not people are cheating people out of $156,000.
Really, no doubt.
All right, we've got more on how to educate yourself and, of course, how to challenge us educationally coming up. So stay tuned here on The Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are resolving with all of you to learn more about wine today. Of course, that means that we're just going to tell you how to learn more about wine, because if you'll ask Michael, we certainly don't need to learn anything else ourselves.
We know it all.
All right. Well, we encourage all of you, call us, email us with your wine questions, or email us with your resolutions to learn more about wine and let us know how we can help you.
Right.
You can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. And for something else, I know Michael and I were joking around a little bit about how we learned a little bit more about wine. We encourage you go to thewinecrush.com, and you can read our biographies and our occasional blogs. Our producer would really appreciate if we'd blog a little bit more than we do. But we are such busy people that I'm sure you understand. But please do reach out for us, ask us questions, and maybe we'll blog some more.
Yeah, that's my resolution.
All right, someone is brave enough right now to have called the wine line. We have Courtney from Denver. Courtney, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Laura. How are you guys doing?
Great, Courtney.
Good. I have a quick question, and it's something that is hard for me to get over. How do you taste so many wines without it getting too expensive? I would love to be able to spread everything around, but it's getting expensive for me.
Yeah, that's a good question. Especially if you're opening all of the bottles yourself at your house. Really, the best way to do that is to, on a Saturday afternoon, go from wine shop to wine shop to wine shop. And because without a doubt, each wine shop that you go to will be featuring a few wines, 2, 3, or 4. And if you go to 3 or 4 wine shops, you can get a great cross-section of different flavors. All for pretty much for free. What do you think, Laura?
Advertises?
Do what? I'm sorry?
Do they advertise?
No, but it's just pretty common knowledge that a wine shop is going to sell you something that they have, they either have on special, or they've got an abundant amount of, or they just want to feature to get you in the door.
I think you're going to find, Courtney, a lot of people doing that in the next 120 days. Whether you are a wine shop, people are going to want to try before they buy. Dollars are hard to come by
right now.
And people are not going to go out and spend money on unheard of wines without trying it a little bit. It's kind of like taking things for a test drive. I'm not going to buy a car without taking it for a test drive, and I'm not going to pay $25 for a bottle of Chardonnay I don't know if I'll like or not.
No doubt about it.
But look for large wine shops, and they will generally always have a tasting panel of about 6 wines. Here, try this, try this. Now, granted, there are a little bit of etiquette concerns when you are doing that.
Right.
Number one, don't drive and go to 6 different wine shops in one day. They don't appreciate drunks. But secondly, if you do find something you like and you do want to form a relationship with these wine shops, buy a bottle.
Absolutely. There is an expectation that they're going to give you 4 glasses of wine or 6 glasses of wine. You know, give them $15.
It does help. Well, Courtney, does that help you at all?
Sure does. That sounds great. That's something I can do on a Saturday, definitely.
And you know what else you can do? You can invite friends over to your house, ask each one of them to bring one bottle, cover them up, and taste each one of them. Figure out which one you like the best. It only costs you the price of one bottle, and you've had a party, and you've tasted 6 different wines.
Okay, when you do that, this maybe is another question then. Do you need to have some stuff written on the types of wines? If nobody really knows a lot about wine, should you have some background?
It depends on how structured you're going to have people dropping by, and it depends on how structured your group of friends are.
Right.
It's always nice if you look at your friends and say, hey, let's learn a little bit about wine. Everyone bring a bottle. The web makes things so easy right now.
Truly does.
You can go to the website of just about any winery in the world and hit print, and you're bound to know something. And I think it's always fun to compare and contrast what you hate and what you don't.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, guys. Love the show.
Thanks for the call, Courtney. You know, she does bring up a very interesting point. You and I are a bit spoiled, you being in the restaurant business, me being in the wholesale business, that we do have opportunity to taste more often than not. But honestly, as we look ahead, you look at restaurants, you look at what big retailers are going to be doing. Here is my soapbox lesson for all of you who are in the business today listening. Make a point of offering taste. Make a point of offering people a sip of the by the glass you're pouring. Make a point of tasting that strange new Mourvèdre that you have in your store. Otherwise, it's just going to sit there.
It's going to sit there, yeah. And we are really practicing that. I would also tell you on your end, we're receiving more and more invitations to go to tastings because everybody wants to sell. And right now, it's tight out there. Money is tight.
Well, this leads off to a different topic. It's easy to worm your way into a tasting. It's easy to get a chance to put the wine in your mouth. But if you don't know anything about the wine before you taste it, it does kind of hamper your ability to learn. So that does lead us to another portion of the show. For those of you who want concrete information and concrete facts, there are certain websites and there are certain certifications that you can look for on the web. And, of course, we'll get to those a little bit later in the show. Right now, we have another call on our wine line.
Hi, my name is Donna, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm wanting to learn more about wine, and I was wondering if there were any good websites out there that would help me along, get me started.
Donna, absolutely.
Great minds think alike. That's kind of
no
where
doubt.
We're going. So I guess instead of doing it later, we'll do it sooner. Donna, there are 3 things that come to mind immediately. Don't laugh, Gallo, www.gallo.com. They have got a great interactive website that will teach you more about varietal, which is the types of wine. It'll teach you more about regions, which is where they were grown. And it will also teach you more about the whole process of how a grape becomes this wonderful thing we like to have in our glass.
And you know, there's another site called Wikipedia. Hit Wikipedia and you can figure that 95% of the information is correct, but it's a pretty interesting read also.
That's something to keep in mind too. For those of you who like to surf the web and try and learn about wine, I have to admit, I'm asked to do dinners, I'm asked to do tastings on a large scale, large format a lot, and it's become a running joke to a lot of my friends and the people who are with me in the industry. I wish I could say that of the 4,800 different wines that I carry, I can tell you instantaneously everything you ever wanted to know about that bottle, how it was made, where it was grown, what the slope was, what the dirt was. I cheat. I cheat on a regular basis, and the web is a great source. But you need to be specific when you go on the web. If you want to learn about Sobraja Family Vineyards, do not just type in Sobraja Family Vineyards and hit send. You're going to wind up with 18 different retailers that are on the web trying to sell you stuff.
That's exactly right.
And then you're going to find people's commentaries. You're going to find people's blogs. And since you only trust Michael and me here at The Crush, you don't want to have all that unnecessary information. Look specifically for the winery's websites.
Yeah.
So type in the www.sobrajafamily.com, because that way is the only way you know you're getting the full detail and the actual information.
Yeah, and then later you can go back and look at the comments made, but you should be judging for yourself as well.
Absolutely. Be careful when you are on the web, once again, looking specifically for a bottle of wine. People are always trying to sell something. Michael and I can certainly testify to that. Yeah. And that's why you might want to get a broader base. The Gallo website, of course, is a great one. There is also two websites out there that I would definitely recommend people looking at. One is the Wine Spectator.
Yes, indeed. There's no doubt about it.
The Wine Spectator, great glossy magazine. I have a lot of fun poking fun at their scores and how they sometimes judge things. But regardless, they do, one, comprehensive reviews of a lot of wines, a lot of vineyards, cheeses, chocolates, everything that can be associated with wine. But they do have a Wine Spectator school online.
I was a club manager for 23 years, as you know, and part of our wine training that we were encouraged to do would be to actually sign up for the classes that were given by the WineSpectator.com.
So see, when you're online and you're actually checking things out at WineSpectator.com, you can bop over to the WineCrush.com, give us your opinions, give us your ideas, anything we may have missed, or if you're feeling brave, call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Just remember, we will always screen out those cute little four-letter words. All right, more on learning about wine after we take a small, small break.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max, easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to Z-Max.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right? Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And y'all excuse me while I go hunt down my shotgun to take care of the producer that wormed that after Dave Michael or Dave Matthews into me. All right, that's fine. All right, we're having an interesting challenge today. This is for those of you out there who have resolved to learn more about wine. This is for people we have motivated to endeavor
to learn more.
To learn more about wine.
Yep.
And what we've covered so far, of course, we had Benjamin Wallace on the show talking about a billionaire's vinegar. And what's interesting about that aspect of it is there are great stories about wine.
They are.
And that will interest most of you. Whether you want to learn more or not, it's always great to know the founding story of whether it's Heights, of whether it's Gergich, or where Ramey came from. It's nice to have the backstory.
Yeah, they're great stories. They make the wine taste better.
So, touching on that, we've also given you an idea of some great websites you can go on. If you're doing just minimal research, you want to know something about a bottle, there's great opportunity on the web to learn.
No doubt about that.
And finally, something we want to talk about is self-study. And right now we have an email, and this email is from Tim, and Tim is in Orlando, Florida. My local college does not offer any kind of wine classes, and I don't live close enough to any retailers to take advantage of their tastings. Is self-study worthwhile?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely, Tim. But it depends. You have to be truly motivated about wine to want to do this. And generally, that falls in several categories. That means that you work in a restaurant, and you're trying to move up into management. You're trying to get bigger tips.
Yep.
It means that you want to work in the wholesale business and make a life out of wine. Bless your hearts. Rethink that. It may be an ego thing with you. You might want to know more than your neighbor at the next country club gathering.
That's right. But the good news is if you don't go to the college, you don't have to take the test. So you don't have to show people just exactly what you didn't pick up in the class.
Oh, you're funny. At least we know which one of us is the expert and where Michael's coming from. But that does lead us. There are three great certifications available in the United States right now. I'm sure there's more, and I encourage those of you who I leave out, call me 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or better yet, if you're feeling brave, send me a copy of the test. Let's see if we pass them.
That's right. But, Laura, there is one thing. There is a disclaimer. And be forewarned, folks, the three groups that she's going to talk about require some serious scholastic aptitude on your part.
All right. So for those of you who are serious, the first one I'm going to recommend is the Certified Wine Educators.
Right.
And you can find those online at certifiedwineeducator.com. This is for those of you who really, truly want to know how it's made, how it's grown, what phylloxera is, what the bugs, what the insects are, what type of yeast makes wine, and most importantly, what the geography is about.
Chemistry, biology, geography, the hard stuff.
Exactly. But for those of you who want to do self-study and want to come through this in about 8 months, truly being 99% more intelligent than anyone you'll encounter, go on the Certified Wine Educator site, order their study guide, and sit back and start reading that book. Most of you will probably get the book, hit the first chapter, get the actual chemical compound for photosynthesis.
The chemistry, yeah.
And you're going to have a glass of Chardonnay. You're going to call the wine line, and you're going to cuss me out. But for those of you who are very serious about your wine, hands down, Laura Lawson's best reference book is a Certified Wine Educator Study Guide.
No doubt about it.
For those of you in wholesale, and for those of my employees who are listening, yes, you will take the test and you will pass. That's all there is to it. And that's what's most important about these certifications I'm talking about. For those of you who are obsessive compulsive like Michael and I might be, they have tests. You can actually sit down. You can take them. You can judge yourself and rank yourself. And it's great because it gives you an end goal.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great certifications. The other one tends to be more for people who are looking to make a lifetime out of wine. This might appeal to the waiters, the waitresses, the people who are in the restaurant business more so than anything else. And that, of course, is the Court of Master Sommeliers.
Right. This group is highly esteemed. There are various levels of expertise, but the highest level that you can achieve, which is the Master Sommelier, pretty much guarantees that you have achieved a level that is only achieved by how many people? Like 75? Is that right?
There's 113 in the world right now. There's only 13 females.
Okay, and I think you're trying to go for that, right, Laura?
I am not going to withhold. I'm going to withhold any kind of comment on that right now. Okay. I have a radio show. Why do I need my Master Sommelier?
There you go.
All right. So in thinking things, certified wine educators, Court of Master Sommelier, check out the websites. These are definitely for those of you who are serious about your knowledge and serious about learning wine. This is where you need to resolve to go. But be warned, one, it can be costly, and two, it's going to make you crazy.
Yeah.
All right, coming up in a little bit, we are going to talk finally about our favorite recommendations for books for those of you who are casual learners and for those of you who are resolving to get what's in your glass into your head. So, more on that when we return.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Everybody knows.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose, and that song is True Grit.
And as you can tell, we have cleared out the production booth and taken control of this whole episode. We're having fun today discussing how to learn more about wine. We have touched base on finding the great stories. We have touched base on finding the great websites. We have talked about getting yourself edumacated.
Yes, indeed.
And finding those certifications. But the one thing, chances are, that's most important to you as the casual wine drinker is to know what can I have on hand in my fingers that is a great reference tool. Michael, what are your top three reference books?
Well, as far as reference books, I really like Karen McNeil's Wine Bible. It's a big piece of volume.
And a great doorstop for those of you who need one.
Well, that's right. I think the easiest reference that I've got is Kevin Zraley's Windows on the World Wine Course. I think that is a really good book.
I agree.
And you know what? That Wines for Dummies thing, even though I bristle at the name, I think it's a pretty good read as well.
I think it's a great read, and actually they have broken that book down, White Wine for Dummies,
right,
and Red Wine for Dummies. And for the 18 people out there who have taken my copies and not returned, I'm tired of buying them. Please return them to me. But these are great reference books.
They are. What are you? Anything else that you like?
There are two things I'm going to add to that. And one's not necessarily a reference, but I think it's a great starting point for people who are into California wine. And that's James Conway's Napa.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Napa is a story that goes on to tell you about the 1950s, 1960s in Napa Valley. And every big name you can imagine, B.V. Gurgitch, Heights, Montelena,
right,
it gives the backstories, which gives you a nice foundation to talk about wine. And unlike Michael, I do recommend Sow the Bees. It is the best reference book for people who want to know something immediately about the best wines for the region, what's grown in a region, and exactly what is a region.
Yeah, okay.
So we encourage you, check out our website. We'll certainly list out the reference books there that we think are worth a gander, and that is winecrush.com. And, of course, those of you out there who feel like we have left something out, call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or email us, info@winecrush.com. Well, hopefully we have given you some starting points to learn more about wine. Hopefully enough starting points that you can call us occasionally and challenge us, and we certainly love that here. Well, thank you for tuning in to The Crush this week. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And just remember, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.